Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. If you suffer a sprain, strain, or fracture, the University of Kansas Health System offers orthopedic walk-in care at 435 and Nall in Overland Park. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
Is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
We have Stan Weber in studio. We have a lot of Chiefs preseason football to preview for you coming up over the next hour. And now it's time also to bring in the bell of the ball from last night. This man was on stage with a red scarf, doing Elvis impersonations, singing and dancing and hosting all of the entertainment from start to finish. And I know it's been a busy couple of weeks or a couple of months really for him. Getting everything ready, Stephen St. John, live from the President Hotel, downtown. How's your back, Stephen? How you doing? How you holding up down there, buddy?
Live is a very loose term there. Barely alive, but I'm good. I'm good now, man. It was once again, my on-site technician, Susan St. John, has set up the equipment here and is now giving me a thumbs up. See, I don't know if that was her thumb. Hold on here. She's waving bye-bye before I can get her on the headset. But, yeah, she had to come down here once again. I'm set up in the drum room inside the beautiful Hilton President Hotel where I've been staying the last couple of nights as we prepared. It's been months, all the preparation and planning and everything culminating in hopefully what was a really fun event for everyone who attended last night at the Midland Theater. But, I almost felt like I was Stan Weber trying to play through pain at Kansas State, that doing whatever I could to get on the field. I went to the chiropractor, got an adjustment, got some treatment. They taped me up with that special. What is that?
Kinesio tape.
Nate, there we go. Tape, and that was I think I used a roll of it on my back, and then sprayed me down with with the professional grade biofreeze. Which, by the way, if you use too much, it'll burn the hell out of you. But it feels good. I have a prescription for anti-inflammatory, did everything I could to get ready to go. And I'm going to tell you what, it got me through pretty good the first 2 hours of the show. After that, it was, I think, Nate, you knew I was hurting. I was in pain. But you know what, though? It was the adrenaline.
Yeah.
And Stan, I'm sure like you took a big hit and maybe, or you maybe rolled an ankle, but the adrenaline of the crowd and the people behind you, and then, you know, you'll hurt tomorrow. And so I hurt today because today is tomorrow. So, yes, I'm paying for it, but hopefully everyone had a great time. It was a blast. I loved it. Stan, I was glad to see you there with our friends Nick Lecky and John McGraw up on stage. That was fun. And, Nate, you did a hell of a job. So, yes, I'm here. I'm in the drum room at the President Hotel where many of our guests are staying. And I'm ready to talk some football. So, and I'm sorry, I apologize for my voice. This is the best it's going to be all day today. I'm just glad it's here because earlier this morning when I was texting you guys, that was the voice was questionable, but now it's been upgraded to probable.
For you guys, I think today is yesterday. The last thing I did right before midnight is tap Nate on the shoulder because I hadn't had a chance to run into him and talk to him and said, I assume you're not going to be there tomorrow morning because you're probably still going to be right here. He had about four people around giving a speech.
Yep.
I knew Marco would make it. He was there with his parents still, and I hadn't seen Steven for a little bit. But Stephen, I will kind of remember back and tell an old football story just to put it into perspective what I think you might be going through, and you can tell me if I can relate at all. So in my senior year, I'm playing against KU, and Alvin Walton, I think is his name, a great pro for the Washington Redskins. I run the ball like I so often did. I led the team in rushing my senior year. Wasn't so great a passer. No chance of the NFL. You know, I enjoyed football, but I was not an NFL player. I got spun around, and he hit me with the front of his helmet, which back then was legal, in the back of the ribs, below my shoulder pads, but above the flak jacket type thing that I had on, in between, just a perfect shot, didn't realize it. And so I got hit, didn't fumble. I mean, that's important. We're talking football here, right?
Right.
All of a sudden, I look up, and Damian Johnson is standing over me, and big number 68 ended up playing for the New York Giants starting offensive lineman. So he was a star player for us and a fellow captain with me. And he kind of picks me up by the shoulder pads and just lifts me up, and I'm going like, why is he helping me up like that? I mean, I don't you know, he's always helpful, like, good job, but why is he actually
picking me up?
Well, I think it's because I got knocked out for about a second.
Oh, no.
So I get up and I walk back to the huddle, and I'm going, just kind of a numb feeling is over my body, and I just, okay. And we ran one more play, and then we unfortunately punted, and I went over the sideline and sat down. And sat there, and by the time it was time to go back out there, went out and played. But when I watched the tape at the end of the game, I was supposed to carry out my fakes and stuff. I would really try hard with the adrenaline to, if I had to run, I ran for a touchdown later. You know, I'd do all the handoffs and things you'd do back in the day. But if I had to finish the fake rather than acting like I'm going to pass or roll out, I took like one step and stopped. I had no idea I did that until I watched the tape. Make a long story short, the next day they come in and do x-rays, and I've collapsed my lung and broke my rib on this hit. And the adrenaline, you know, takes you through. But that after the ball game, there's plenty of interviews. Everyone's excited, and there used to be big media. I mean, every small town had newspapers back in the day and radio stations, you know. It's not like being at Alabama today, but I'm telling you, it was a lot bigger deal. So a lot of media, all that stuff, got network, the network post-game interview. And all of a sudden, I just kind of collapse, I don't know, internally, emotionally, or whatever, and my parents come into the locker room and help carry me out, like, you know, when a player's really hurt, like hanging over them.
Get your arms draped over each of your parents.
I am literally like I am a 95-year-old person as they dragged me out, and my parents had a big van, and you didn't have to buckle yourself in with all those laws back then. They just laid me down across the between the first and second seats and laid me down and carried me up to my house, and I literally just was totally out of it for a while. So I just wonder, because
so you didn't
I heard,
go straight to the hospital or anything.
Oh, I had no idea. I just thought, hey, I haven't eaten in a while. This thing about eating 4 hours before the game to get you to peak performance, mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. what athletes do, all these teams.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You got a 1 o'clock kickoff, and you're going to eat 9 o'clock, no matter what. You want some steak?
Yeah.
Like, well, not really, but okay. I'll eat whatever you give me.
Yeah.
Spaghetti, whatever. But, I mean, it's been so long.
Yeah.
Just by definition, you're always, like, nowadays they're smart enough to give them snacks and mm-hmm. junk. But anyway, so I just thought I was a little worn out. I didn't realize I'd collapsed my lung.
Jeez.
And broke my rib. But I thought of Steven last night. I heard a rumor, and I don't think it's true, that Steven has a sore back. You know, maybe a really, really sore back that might limit his movement, you know, carrying things and stuff. No! Steven's up there going around, gyrating, doing a great full song, a full Elvis song. Not just a minute. Not 20 seconds, a full song with a bunch of gyrations and everything else. So I don't know if your back is really hurt or if you're like me, at some point you just collapsed. And so I'm not sure what it is, but I can relate to you that one time. I just wonder if you really are hurt. I'm wondering if it's just a rumor. But if you really are hurt, you've got to be, man, the ramifications of what you did last night.
So
unbelievable. Great show. That song was one of the highlights. I mean, you sung the whole thing legitimately, and all the movements and everything else, and obviously all the tape was on your back because you had your shirt, your belly and chest exposed like Elvis Presley, the whole thing, and there was no tape. I didn't see any tape there. So I don't know, guys. I haven't talked to Steven. I haven't seen him. Is this a ruse? Is this fake? Is he really not hurt? Or is he really fallen down today to a level I cannot imagine other than that day when I got hurt?
Trust me, it was all taped up because Susan had to tape me up before. We used that damn near that whole roll. And so after we were done and, you know, everyone was talking and we were out there. I talked to Coach Pinkle for about half an hour and he was great. We were talking to a bunch of different Nick Lecky was out there, and then Nick Lecky and Gary Pinkle, I introduced them, and they talked for about 10 or 15 minutes. That was a fun conversation to be a part of. And so then finally it's getting to the end, and I'm saying, hey, guys, we got to go. And I also got my wife and my twin girls and Phil with us. And we've got the two cases, the radio equipment, because I have to do the show today here at the hotel, and the stuff that I brought over and everything else. And I forget that we have to – I'm ready to drive right now, guys. We got to go. And I'm thinking we're going to go get in the car. And I forgot we had to walk back to the hotel. And that was not just only two blocks, but that was one of the most painful walks I've had. And we got back here, and we got up to the room, and I barely took my shirt off, laid down, I was out. I didn't say goodnight. I mean, I was out within 5 minutes of getting into the room, and then I got up, and it was when you go to sleep with a bad back, sometimes if you don't go to sleep in the right positions, even worse when you wake up. And so, yeah, I was hurting. I'm hurting. But you know what?
You go to the doctor, they might have said you broke a rib and collapsed your lung.
Yeah,
so
it's
nothing that bad. I got a sprained SI joint, and maybe a little bit of a tear in the ligament and some other stuff. But you know what? I'm going, and Nate, you'll be very proud of me. I went to my doctor. You know, my primary care physician, mm-hmm. and he's referred me. I'm going to a spine specialist.
There you go.
I'm trying to get this thing taken care of once and for all. I'm not going to have surgery, but, you know, whatever they say I should do, physical therapy or whatever, I'm going to take care of it. So
well, we need to do
doing things the right way.
We need to do a quick reset here. I'm not the host of this show, but I'm going to take charge for a second here.
Yes, please.
Because people may have not heard at 6:20 or 6:15 this morning about what's going on. Sometimes it's a different listening audience. So I think it's important that it stated last night there was a lot of things that went on, and we talked about the video production was incredible. One of the things is the ESPYs, ESPN, which you're associated with, the TV ESPN, has an ESPY show, and they give out these ESPYs. And here in Kansas City, you were allowed, Chad Boger and the relationship and everything else, give out a bunch of ESPYs, but one of them was to you guys for your community service. I mean, that's incredible. So if people don't know, I just want to kind of reset. I know Nate mentioned that earlier in the show, but you guys were given ESPYs. Really, congratulations. It's the real deal. Nate's got one here.
It's a real ESPY.
A real
These
ESPY.
These things are heavy,
and
too, by the way.
It was a surprise, and it was really cool because there's a lot of things going on at this event. And so many people were appreciated. That's appropriate. Yeah. And everyone was respectful of saying, hey, let's enjoy what they're saying about that group. And everyone, it was really nice. Everyone was really respectful, but not many people got ESPYs. So congratulations, guys. Great work in the community. A nice surprise. I had no idea it was going to happen. So for the show and the listeners especially, it's important that I say, if you didn't hear earlier, I want everyone to hear in this hour that you guys got these ESPYs for your community service. You do such a great job, and congratulations on that.
It was a total surprise. They got me, and I'm pretty. You can ask my family. I'm difficult to surprise because I'm so nosy, and I always have to know what's going on. And for the fact that I was one of the people that I was on the planning committee for this event, and they gave me all these mock run of shows that were wrong, you know, and they were trying to hide this from me. And I'm the one that helped set up. Tom Watson to do the video through the good people from the ALS Association Mid-America chapter, and they went over and they didn't want me. I said, should I go? I should go when Tom Watson does the video. And Chad, I don't know what he's no, we're gonna do that. They set me off on a different path. You know, they had me do something else. I'm thinking, it was weird. They didn't want me to go and make sure that the video went smoothly when Tom recorded it at his office. And now I know this is because he was announcing that Nate and I had won this award, which, let me tell you, I was lucky to compose myself on stage. And look, I'm honored, and it's just a it's a blessing to have a co-host like Nate Buchady, because I tell people, I'm mean to him, but I tell people behind his back, I don't know a better father, I don't know a better husband, and I don't know a better person deep down in his heart than Nate Buchady. This guy is someone who is so genuine, and I never have to question his motives. He's always trying to do the right thing and try to do, you know, good for other people. And it's an honor to do a show with him. And it was an honor to share that award with him last night. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. So it was awesome. It was one of those things where I kind of didn't know what was happening. I didn't know what was going on. And then I don't even remember what I said in the speech. And that was it. But it was, man, whoever. Thank you to everybody. That was awesome. That was beautiful.
You'll be able to remember this connection with you two. You've been doing it a long time, but when that SB is up in your house and your grandkids are asking you, like, what is that? I mean, you'll remember you two together getting it. There's just no way you won't ever remember last night, not just because of the great production, but that actual SB trophy right there will remind people to ask you forever, and you'll always talk about, you know, the connectivity that you guys have on the show, and the respect for each other. And so congratulations and good work.
Thanks, Stan. It feels weird getting an award for trying to be a good person. You shouldn't get an award for that. You know, that's not why you do any of the things that you do. You're active in the community as well. And I know you're not doing it so that someday somebody's going to give you an award. So it feels a little weird to like take pleasure in that, but it does. It just means a lot to have somebody tell you that the stuff you do matters to them. And it was interesting to bring it back to your panel. John McGraw is just a fascinating guy, and we were talking about the work he does for leadership, and he does these 10-day long intensive training programs for companies and their employees. And I started talking to him about my friend Sean Biggs that died, that caused me to start the Big Steps Foundation with my friends. And the thing that it taught me was losing my friend Sean was one of the most painful things that's ever happened to me in my life. Fortunately, I haven't lost a parent yet, and I know Steven's gone through that. I haven't lost a sibling. So for me, like losing one of my closest friends at a really early age, at 36 years old, was this really painful moment. It's so weird because like some of the most beautiful things that have happened in my life have happened out of that pain. You know, the having the foundation, all the memories we've had for 10 years of getting together with Sean's I have this really close relationship with his kids now, because they come to town every year for the race, and his wife Neha and his parents and all these things that have happened. And then that was another one last night where it's like it's just weird how sometimes the toughest things you go through in life can turn out to create some of the most beautiful moments in your life. And that was, you're right. I'll never forget that. And I do want to say this. It was really nice of you to say nice things, Steven. And we should move on to the Chiefs before we keep talking about ourselves. But Steven's been doing this show longer than me. I wasn't his first co-host. And when I came on board to work with him, that was one of the things that struck me right off the bat was this guy is always doing things in the community. He's emceeing events for countless different charity organizations. He's on the board at ALS. Like, he's not just showing up to these events and saying a few words and then leaving out the back door. He's invested in the community, and he's never asking for any, you know, credit for it or anything like that. And he's using this platform to be a part of the city that he loves. And I've always wanted to, like, I've always looked at you as a role model in that regards. So it's to be up there and get to, you know, have somebody say, hey, you belong with Steven up there, that means a lot. So that's it. There we go. Should we talk about football now?
No. But you're right. That was a great moment. I was very honored and proud to share it with you. And I was glad that our families were there to see it. I know we can't always get our families out to all the events we're at and a bunch of our friends and coworkers. So that was awesome. That's a moment I'll never forget. A moment I'll never forget is when I finally see Isaiah Pacheco in a game, because that's all we've talked about. How about that transition?
Yeah,
Stan?
What a game. What a transition.
And again, last night, so, you know, people that listen to the show, I'm talking to people. They know I spent a week up at camp. How about that Isaiah Pacheco? how good is this kid? Does he have a chance to start? The hype is out of control now, right? And every national reporter that was in there, you know, they talk to Chiefs PR, they talk to whatever source they have. They write about Isaiah Pacheco. Hey, what are the three things I saw at camp? Number one, Isaiah Pacheco, turning heads, getting some time with the ones. He's going to be the kick returner. Seventh round pick out of Rutgers, 4'3", 740. He has, you know, good size, and you wonder how in the hell did he slip to the seventh round? Stan, he has separated himself as this year's camp darling, but he has looked good up there. What are you expecting from this kid? Dave Toba said he's going to get the first crack at being the kick returner, and he has been getting a lot of snaps with the ones. Clyde's still the starter, but Isaiah Pacheco, they took that car out of the garage and they gave it a few spins around the block up at training camp to find out what he could do, and he's been able to answer the call. Now, pass protection, that's going to be another thing. We can only figure that out in a real game. But, Stan, what are your thoughts about what we're looking for from the star of training camp, Isaiah Pacheco, tomorrow?
Well, you've got to start with playing along with everyone, right? I mean, Stephen, you mentioned him and what he has done so far. And we got to go back to Clyde Edwards-Helaire being drafted in the first round, and there was a lot of criticism of that. People saying, what the heck are you doing? And the reason why is great running backs can be found in the third round, the fourth round. Starters can be found in the seventh round. So when we mention him being a seventh-round pick from Rutgers, and seems to have his head on straight, understand the game, it's, you know, got to pick up all the blitzes. That's the most important thing. Don't let the quarterback get hit. Don't [S2] Yes. [S1] Let a turnover occur. So I care about those things, the correct assignment, the movement in the backfield when you got to dance around offensive linemen and defensive linemen and pick your linebacker up who might be three slots away, three people away, but you better get there and hit them square and slow them down. So I'll start with a seventh-round pick can be very good at running back, okay? But then I'm going to go back and say I expect us to be sliding our expectations down, because one thing that we see in training camp today in modern football is it's not real football. And so he has speed and he has size and he's doing a lot of nice things out there. But the fact is he's not getting tackled full speed. So a straight ahead runner might be fine, but can he make that little subtle move and slide by a guy and make a couple extra yards, 6 or 7 yards, or is he going to get hit? You know, I don't know. But I have to go back. There was a guy I thought of, and Nate reminded me of here in studio, because we're not on TV anymore, so Nate can start giving me cue cards. And it doesn't happen very often, but he did, because he knew what I was going to say when Nate got all excited about, do you want to say his name or you want me to?
I was drafting Darwin Thompson in my fantasy leagues, because he was, boy, Darwin Thompson, this kid catching the ball out of the backfield in the camp, he's looking good. And you came in and you said, Nate, calm down.
So what I'm going to say today, Stephen, is I'm not going to say Nate, calm down. I'm not going to say Stephen, calm down, or anybody else, because I haven't seen him play in a preseason game. It is one of the exciting things to see. We may not have conclusive evidence in the game tomorrow. It's not that far off. Noon kickoff. How awesome is that? I'm interested to see him play, and it may take a game or two, but I might be in here saying, and it's a high probability that I'm going to say, he's just another guy. I mean, he could be a contributor. It's nice that he could make the team. Kick returning is important. Dave Tobe wants to make big plays in the kicking game. I understand it. I love special teams as much as anybody in the world. So there's no problem with that. But I doubt I'm going to be thinking about him very much when they play the Cardinals in week one. So I assume that my enthusiasm level will not stick. I'll run with everybody else till tomorrow, and then I'll let it flow. And if he produces to that level, then I'll jump on board as well. But I expect him to just be like most running backs in the NFL. They just kind of cycle through. Very few of them are notable. I mean, you look around the NFL rosters, and most teams have 2-3 running backs who don't scare you when you're the opponent, but are solid guys for your team. And if he's a part of that, if he makes the team as a seventh rounder, if he's a contributor, if he gets 3 to 5 carries a game, that'd be big for a seventh round pick. But I'm not tapping the brakes early, but that's what I'll expect to say probably next Friday, unless I'm surprised.
It is crazy how running backs are not the stars of the league the way they were just a decade ago, even. But, I mean, growing up, to me, like, I remember...
Think about Saquon Barkley with the Giants.
Oh, yeah.
He's a dominant player, comes out as a high draft pick. And do you even think about him? Watch out for the Giants this year. Barkley's going to dominate. No. Yeah. It doesn't matter compared to these quarterbacks.
So you guys remember, did you guys have the thing where in grade school, I don't remember what they called, the bookmobile or whatever, where like they would come into your school and have all these books you could buy, and my mom would give me like 10 bucks.
Scholastic Book Fair.
Scholastic Book Fair, that's what it was. I don't know if you had that in Wichita,
yes.
Stan. But the Scholastic Book Fair would come, and my mom would give me like 10 bucks or whatever it was, and I could buy two or three books. And they would do NFL books. And I remember one of the ones I bought when I was in grade school was a book about all of the 1,000-yard rushers in the NFL. And in each chapter was this guy ran for 1,000 yards in the NFL last year. Kurt Warner. You remember Kurt Warner, the running back for the Seahawks?
Not the Rams quarterback.
Not the Rams quarterback. He was a running back for the Seahawks when they were in the AFC West. That's how old I am. But I remember, and it was a big deal if you ran for 1,000 yards.
No way, they were in the
yards.
AFC West?
Yeah.
With the Chiefs?
Yeah.
There were five teams in a division.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and they were royal blue and green at the time.
And they played in this ugly dome.
Yeah, oh, gosh.
What? And I used to spend all my money on Mad Libs and Choose Your Own Adventures.
Yeah, I did some of that, and I bought every Garfield book also. But I remember, and it was a big deal, and like all those guys, I mean, obviously it was Walter Payton and Marcus Allen and all these, they were the stars of the league. And if you wanted to be a decent team in the NFL, you had to have a 1,000-yard running back. And now it's like, well, he splits time with him, and it's like even the good running teams in the NFL, their running backs almost are not that big of stars because they split the carries with somebody else or whatever. Isn't that crazy how the game has changed in that regard?
Yes. Like Ronald Jones, for instance, how good is he going to be? I mean, he's a legitimate pro, and he could be a factor for the Chiefs, but if you think about winning the AFC West, which is going to be so hard, do you think the Chargers or the Broncos or the Raiders are worried about Ronald Jones?
No.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire? No.
No.
We're worried about Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and the wide receiving core. Now, I do want to say something because I've been saying this for all of my high school plus years. Even though running the ball was so important and good teams seemed to have that running back, and he played almost every down and got the ball a lot, I remember those days. What's great about the NFL is it's always about winning Super Bowls was about throwing the football. And so we keep making a big emphasis now, and it's right, coach, quarterback. How great are your receivers? But I want to give a little more respect to the days even of Len Dawson and Otis Taylor.
Yeah.
You still had to throw the ball. The greatest teams in the NFL threw the ball. Go back and look at Super Bowl I and II and the 2 years before that. Look at Bart Starr's passing rating, what he did, his completion percentage, and those kind of things. The Packers were known for a seal here and a seal here and a sweep. But you know how they really won? Throwing the ball with Bart Starr.
When I bought that book, Roger Craig and the 49ers, man, they were throwing the ball all over the place. Yeah. You know, that was a team that was winning the Super Bowl in those
days.
So
it's just great that every fan is on board. We all know that the passing game is important now, and the running back's been de-emphasized. But it's been this way for a long, long time in the NFL. The winning plays are when you can throw the ball. It's 3rd and 7. Who wins that battle? And it's been that way for a long, long time. What I don't like about the NFL now, Stephen, is too often the 3rd and 7 battle winning by the offense is a flag on the field for illegal contact. 5 yards and an automatic first down. That's the one thing I don't like about the NFL game. Do you guys find yourself doing that watching the NFL games? I don't in college. But after a play's over on 3rd down, if the Chiefs are on defense and you think the opponent's going to punt, all I'm looking for is there a flag? I'm counting like 1, 2, 3, and hope the announcer doesn't say, oh, there's a flag on the field. Do you find that? I really hate that kind of get-out-of-jail-free card with that rinky-dink penalty, and that's the one thing you wonder about the NFL. But I'm excited for tomorrow. I think the Chiefs are on the right track. I hope no one gets injured, but it is an advantage to play real football to get ready for the season. And I love that Andy Reid says the Chiefs are normally on fire in Week 1. And teams that win in Week 1, the correlation between winning Super Bowls and having won in Week 1 is incredible. You think it's just one game out of 17? It's setting the tone. So I love the fact that Patrick Mahomes, this receiving core, they're going to get out there and work. I don't know if they'll make it through the whole first quarter, but I love the fact they're going to play some tomorrow. I'm so excited. Chiefs football just over 24 hours away.
We've got Stan Weber in the studio. We'll be right back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. My man, Philip Strnad, the GM running it here at the President, came on down to talk to me during a commercial break. He's listening in his office, and man, oh man, this is the place to stay. If you are attending an event down here in downtown KCMO, going to a concert, going over to P&L, you got a big event like we had last night, or if you just want a nice getaway, great place to take your significant other. The Hilton President Hotel, it was the official hotel of WHB's 100-year anniversary. Opened in 1927, the Hilton President is the only hotel in the Power and Light District, just steps away from T-Mobile Center in the Midland, Starbucks coffee on-site in the lobby, and 213 rooms and suites and plenty of on-site parking. And one of the best places to have a drink or have a nice little dinner here in the Drum Room. This place has all kinds of history, and it's beautiful, and it's my favorite place to stay in Kansas City. And I'm broadcasting live from the Drum Room today at the President Hotel. Now, Stan, one of the things to watch, and I know that this is not something that is very exciting or sexy to most football fans to watch, but if anyone listened to Dave Tobe whenever he talked to the media up in St. Joe, he told you that there are four or five spots that are open for four-phase guys because he has to replace Armani Watts. He has to replace Marcus Kemp. He has to replace Dan Sorensen. He has to replace Ben Neiman. He's replacing guys that were veterans on the special teams that he trusted. He has to find a kick returner, and they're still figuring out what to do with punt returners. So there's a lot there. Now, you don't have to worry about punter and kicker and long snapper. That's good. That's a luxury. But and he told us, he gave us names. He gave us names like Justin Watson, Doris Fountain. Corey Coleman is a guy that's in the mix because of his special teams play. He went up and down the list. Deion Bush, he said he loves him. They brought him in, the safety from the Bears. And he talked about some of the other guys that have a chance to make this team simply because of their special teams, and he said that it's wide open. And he said all three of these games are hugely important for these guys because he's going to find out who he can count on as four-phase guys. And for someone that watches every Kansas State football game, you understand the importance of special teams, and that's why a guy like Elijah Lee, even though he's playing very well with the defense, he's got a spot too because he is an important guy that Dave Tobe is relying on for special teams. But that's going to be a key. And when it comes down to the sixth wide receiver, when it comes down to the fourth or fifth corner, or the fourth safety, it's going to be decided by special teams. And he's going to get on the table, and he's going to pound the table for you know, one or two or three roster spots or players, or Andy Reid more than likely is going to give them to him. So this is very important to watch, not only the return game, but the gunners and the protection and everything else that goes along with special teams. And that's going to decide many roster spots because Dave Tobe has that much influence. And so that's a key to watch in this preseason, Stan.
Yes, that's right, because it's not the same at every NFL team. Dave Tobe does have credibility, and he will be able to pound his fist and say, I'd love to have this guy on the roster, and they're going to listen. And it's amazing how few players there are on the roster when you start putting things together. I mean, there are 90 players out there right now, so there's plenty of opportunity. College football teams have 125 guys. They can involve 60 guys on game day and let players play special teams. I mean, you said a four-phase. Is that what you call it, a four-phase guy? Four,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a new word for me. I've really not heard
the
this.
The four phase. That's
the four phase. It's new this preseason. Okay, now I know what I can call my sons. Four phasers. You know, like Landry just finished his career at K State. Stanton, they were on every one of those special teams. That's just core. And at K State, there's a lot of pride. My son Stanton, for instance, never played in the rotation as a wide receiver. He was a captain for K State in 2015, and he did those special teams. And he could do that and make the trip and all that. The only limitation he had is on a trip, they can only take 75 people on a trip. So you got to be the best 75. Here, you have 45 guys suit up. And you're saying it exactly right, Stephen. These decisions affect the other decisions. How many do you keep at each position? Which guys do you keep? I think my spotlight when you talk about this isn't so much on all these players who are candidates. It's on Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon, a wide receiver who came to the Chiefs as a free agent and was known as a big-time wide receiver and could spark and be a real contributing factor for the Chiefs if he makes the roster. I mean, he's on the bubble because you can't keep 100 players and let everyone play their role and work into it. And how are you going to play special teams? How's that going to factor in? Is that going to push a Josh Gordon off the roster because they have to reload on the special teams? It is a very important part of this. And for those players and for Chiefs fans, that development is important for the future. Think about Byron Pringle, a guy, again, because he's at K-State, I obviously have right on the top of my head. He was a guy who made it because he could do things on special teams. Yep. His value was enormous. Well, guess what he did last year? He was a legitimate wide receiver and got a big contract as a wide receiver to move on in the NFL. So making the roster and staying alive gives you a chance to develop. So when we look at the Chiefs roster, I know everyone's talking about the Royals and the new guys coming on and all that. The Chiefs are in that same mode. Which guys are going to make it? And you're right, Stephen, it might because they're special on the special teams, but that'll give them a chance to stay around and be a part. When there's only 53 guys and 45 guys get a suit up, when you're part of that 53, you're going to get a lot of work, and it gives you a chance to develop and become a better player. So which of these youngsters are going to get a chance to be a Chief contributor on regular downs maybe 2 years from now? It might be the ones who make the team in these three preseason games on special teams. That's how big a deal it is. And the Chiefs need to be good at special teams. That is a part. Andy Reid, Dave Tobe, they're a three-phase football team. Yeah. A lot of NFL teams aren't. They don't care. They're like, every kick's going to be kicked into the end zone, and we'll fair catch the punts, and we probably won't get our punt block. Mm-hmm. So what does it matter? That's not what the Chiefs do. The Chiefs value it, and they've got a guy in Dave Tobe who is as good a special teams coach as there is in the NFL. So you're right on it, Stephen. A number of guys could earn a spot as a wide receiver, defensive back, linebacker, because they can play special teams.
Nick Leckie told us that he was on NFL teams where the special teams coach wasn't even really considered a real coach. You know, that he was just kind of almost like a substitute teacher.
That's why I want to point that out, because it's not like that here.
No, everybody knows
everyone here is used to us getting on the radio. Sports Radio 810 blasting out with 50,000 watts, celebrating its 100th year. Well, guess what we talk about? Chiefs, Dave Tobe, special teams, big plays. Oh, if we slip over to college, we start talking about K-State. The most elite special teams crew in the nation. You know, most touchdowns, all this kind of stuff. So we just get so used to, obviously everyone values special teams. No, go around the rest of the country, and a lot of people don't even talk about it.
It's
and you know, he mentioned Noah Gray, because people ask him, what, you know, why are they keeping four tight ends? Well, Blake Bell's the guy that's the best blocker. Jody Fortson, they look upon as the guy who could be the best receiver as far as behind Kelsey. And then Noah Gray right now, he's the special team standout that Dave Tobe singled out. So that's a guy I can count on. That's a guy I can rely on. And then you're talking about receivers. You know that, Valdez-Scantling's going to make it. Hardman's going to make it. Sky Moore's going to make it. Juju Smith-Schuster's going to make it. But then right now the fifth guy is Justin Watson, because, and Dave Tobe pointed this out, he's got that balance where he can help the offense, but he also is considered a special team standout. And Justin Watson said one of the reasons he signed with Kansas City, not just to try to play with Patrick Mahomes, but he knew that Kansas City put an emphasis on special teams, and him being a very good special teams player, he knew his path to making this team was a little bit easier or a little bit better because of his ability to play special teams. So then, you got to put him at the number five spot. So then that leaves three guys, I think, battling for that six wide receiver. If they keep six wide receivers, Dorrice Fountain, who Dave Tobe said he loves on special teams. Corey Coleman, who's the guy that is getting some looks at punt returner, and if they decide Harbin's not the guy and they don't want to use Sky Moore or McDuffie, then Coleman could end up making it because he could be a punt returner, but he's still on the outside looking in. And then you got Josh Gordon, who's just strictly a receiver, who really hasn't, you know, isn't looked upon as a guy who can make an impact on special teams. So it comes down to, what are you going to keep? The guy that could help the offense, a guy that could help in the return game, or a guy that's a special team standout, for Dave Tobe, like Dorrice Fountain. And so that's one of the more interesting battles for that six wide receiver spot. So, Nate, you know, of course we're going to watch the starters. Of course we're going to watch Isaiah Pacheco. But, man, if you're trying to figure out who's going to make this roster and who's going to make the final cuts, you better keep your eyes on special teams, baby.
Yeah, and I think that the point that Stan made earlier about running back translates to special teams as well. Because when you watch practice, I would love to be able to talk to Dave Tobe sometime, you know, like off the record, go to lunch and say, like, how can you really tell who's good at special teams in practice? Because really all they're doing is executing the X's and O's part. They kick the ball off and all 11 guys run down the field. You know, they're not actually going against live action. And I heard him say that at camp this week, that we'll find out which guys are really cut out for special teams when we play real games. And I know it's a preseason game, but you met full contact against another team. Now we get to see what these guys can actually do. Because it's like, that's got to drive you a little crazy as a special teams coach. You're working through all the X's and O's of it, making sure everybody knows their responsibilities, but you can't really evaluate these guys until it's real full contact.
Yeah, I'm a little bit too much of a nerd on special teams. I mean, because of K-State, my son's a coach. That's what his specialty is, you know, at South Carolina, special teams. But when Patrick Mahomes drops back to pass, they draw out patterns and responsibilities, and everyone wants to be refined and do those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how often is it off script? Almost every play.
All the time.
Like,
yeah.
I didn't expect the rush to come from this guy, so I move over here in the pocket. Oh, that changes my angle to throw. I was going to throw to Kelsey in that window, but now I've got to wait one more window. How often did we have to do that in practice? Never.
Right.
Because you never had a rush in front of your face. So, but now you react, and he sticks the ball on Kelsey 12 yards down the field, and no one knows it wasn't drawn up exactly like that. And I think about this. K-State played Mississippi State in a big game. Chris Klieman was a new head coach at K-State.
Mm-hmm.
They're on the road at Mississippi State, and the Wildcats are behind in the game, and all of a sudden they house a kickoff return. Oh, that's what you expect. You know, K-State, great job. But I know all the intricacies of what really happened, and things did not unfold like they were supposed to at all. But guys who reacted and made plays, no different than Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, with all their creativity and understanding, confidence, and capability athletically to pull something off, you understand that on a passing play. Everyone who's listening goes, I get it. I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. That happens on special teams. Why do those players have the knack to go, you told me every time to chip this guy at the 25-yard line and force him outside? Why didn't you ever block him and you happen to go over two players over and knock him to the side? What caused you to do that? That's like asking Patrick Mahomes, what caused you to make the play that way? Sometimes the coach has got to say, you're going to play because you can do what I draw up.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, when the game's on the field and things don't ever work out perfectly, you react, you make plays, you make smart plays, things that we maybe never even taught you. Yes, you use things we teach. It's just as big in special teams, and I will say the plays aren't as important as the quarterback plays. Okay, I get that. But they're really – think about this. How big a field is. You're a soccer guy. You know how they space and all
mm-hmm.
that. A special teams play like a kickoff return really encompasses legitimately a 40-yard by probably – 40-yard area where all kinds of things are going on that create what the return is going to be. That's way harder than a normal play from scrimmage. So how do you react? Where's your spatial awareness compared to the speed, the size of the other team, the strategy they're using? So we cannot emphasize enough that Dave Tobe needs to see these guys in real action against real teams in these preseason games to find out who really is a special teams player. And it's not if you run a 4-4-40.
Right.
Okay, that's not that.
Right.
It's something else that gets you to make that block, be in the right position, and it's going to be so much fun. It's hard to watch other teams play preseason games. I mean, maybe the Chargers, the Raiders, the Broncos, I might be able to watch for four quarters. It'll be hard, okay? But for the Chiefs, I have no problem watching every single play and saying there's value, because who of the 90 are going to make the 53? And sometimes they're popping in the fourth quarter when you think, ah, this game's over. It's not about the scoreboard. It's about what the individuals do in a real game situation.
And the Chiefs are going to be cutting guys that are going to get signed up right away from other teams. That's how deep their roster is, too.
The other thing you got to watch is there could also be some – they might be able to trade a guy or two.
Yep.
You know, like they did with Carlos Hyde. And I'm telling you, this sounds crazy because we've all been talking about four running backs, you know, but maybe they decide to keep an extra defensive back. Maybe they decide to keep an extra defensive lineman. I don't know. And it just feels like – because, again, it sounds crazy to say this. It feels like the locks at running back are Clyde and Isaiah Pacheco, and maybe McKinnon and Ronald Jones are battling for the third spot. They could very easily keep four, and I could see that. Or they could trade one of those running backs maybe for a seventh-round pick or a sixth-round pick at the end of camp. Or they might just let one go. It just depends. If they keep three running backs, unless he absolutely just blanks the bed, I think Pacheco's on the team. They like him. They like him too much. And again, that added boost if he's the kickoff return guy, and if he looks good and holds on to the football because there's no one really behind him. Dave Toews putting it all on him right now. That's who he wants to be the kick returner. Then you're on the team, and so that's going to be something to watch. What does McKinnon do? What does Ronald Jones do? Because Ronald Jones has not got a whole lot of work with the ones, and that's been one of the things that's been interesting to watch how that's developed, because they have been looking very closely at Pacheco to see exactly what he can do in the offense and obviously with special teams. Stan, we are very close to college football. We're getting there. It'll be September 1st before we know it, and you'll be in studio that next day, and we'll be talking about whether or not Missouri beat Louisiana Tech on the opening night of college football. I cannot wait. It was great to see you last night, and as always, Stan, thank you so much for your time today.
Well, it was a great show. Congratulations to you guys for your ESPY, and it was a lot of fun to talk to different sports stars and even people that you have as guests on this show. A lot of them, you know, I was able to speak with them because I don't see them on Fridays always. You know, they're doing their different days, and I met Jeff Chedia for the first time. That was a lot of fun, obviously, to talk football with him. And Mike Boddicker is awesome. Even though I don't know Mike that well, it seems like I know him really, really well because our lives kind of cross in different ways, even though we're not the same age. So it was fun to see him there. And got a chance to talk to Gary Pinkel.
There you go.
Lance Leipold was there. So there. I got my football fix in talking to some guys. Cannot wait to go. And you're right. Mizzou, September 1st. Kansas, September 2nd. K-State, September 3rd. What a fun three-day stretch. And that is before the NFL kicks off the next Thursday.
Let's do it. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're now joined by Gary Lezak. I shared the stage with Gary Lezak. Gary was, you know, this is the thing about Gary. He's an ultimate professional. He is an entertainer. And when he's the calm in the storm, no pun intended, I know he's a weatherman, but he's the calm in the storm. He's the eye of the storm. When everything's going crazy around him, he settles with his steel nerves. He settles everyone down. He just says, give me the microphone. I'll take care of everything. And he goes out there. He makes people happy. He was presenting a damn dog show. You had dogs catching frisbees and jumping through hoops and walking backwards. And they had and the dogs had boots on. They had shoes. These damn dogs had shoes on stage, Gary. I don't know if you saw that. Do you ever make your dogs wear shoes by any chance?
No, but it's very smart. I think the reason is because the dog stands on her back and did all kinds of things. So, you know, with those paws, you know, if you're not careful, when they do all those things, you can get scratched. So I think that might be why. I don't know. But that was epic. And I did have to calm things down a little bit. It was one of those nights where, you know, they were called the halftime dog. So it was halftime. It was getting long. So I was like, you know what? We need to get everyone restarted. That was my goal. So did we do it?
I think so.
Yes.
I mean, I think after that, you know, once that happened, the show really went to the dogs. But I don't know. Did you enjoy that? These dogs were walking backwards. They were doing backflips. I think one of them talked. One of the dogs smoked a cigar. I don't know if you saw that was backstage. Unbelievable tricks that these dogs did.
Smoke of the cigar. I was like, oh my God.
He has A easy there.
One of the dogs sang an Elvis song for us. It was incredible.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, the dog singing the Elvis song was epic. That was amazing.
Here's the thing. Those dogs didn't have to do any tricks. I was enamored by the fact that they were wearing shoes.
Yeah,
I like animals that wear shoes. I mean, that's something that I like, and I would like to see more animals wear shoes. You ever see a monkey in a diaper smoking a cigarette? Oh, boy, let me tell you, that's fun. Oh, jeez.
Oh my! One thing I found out when you went up there and sang, yes, everyone's. Stephen St. John turned into Elvis for like about 10 minutes. It was amazing. And when you did it, you announced that you'd seen the Elvis movie four times. I thought when you saw it with me, it was your third time. Have you seen it again?
No, that was the fourth time that I saw it with you.
Okay, good. I was just wondering. I was a little worried there. But
now it's available it's available on pay-per-view. So this weekend we'll make it five from the luxury of my own home.
There you go. That's what Andy said. And he says to me, hey, Gary, Elvis is now going to be available. And I'm like, you can't watch it without me. I want to watch it again.
The Elvis, that's right. That's exactly right.
Would you text him and tell him he cannot watch it without me? Just tell him.
He's not going to listen to me. If I text him, then he will watch it for sure.
It's true. That's what he does. It's all reverse psychology. Tell him you can't watch it with Gary. Then maybe he'll watch it with me.
I'll tell him.
text him that one. So. That was great last night. I just posted a picture of me and Bill Self, and to be politically correct, me and Gary Pinkle. And it was great to meet those guys and so many others. And Boddicker was amazing as usual, as always. He's just one of the most genuine, amazing guys. And to see all the fans out there, a lot of them listening right now. Thank you so much for listening to Sports Radio 810. I'm proud to be part of it. You know, on stage I didn't get to say this, but I should. You know, I do the weather. I'm the weather guy, right? So I'm supposed to do the weather with you guys. And although, you know, I don't. So it was crazy. It was just great to see everyone and all of the celebrities. I mean, my goodness. I mean, Jason Whitlock was there and so many others. So it was just a great evening. And, I'm just glad I'm part of your team, guys. Thank you so much for letting me be part of this.
Thank you, my friend.
And I told you this. I actually called you and threatened you when you announced your retirement. You can't retire from the show because we can't do this show without you because you're such a big part of the show. And I hope you understand that. I hope you know that. And even though you don't make your dogs wear shoes, I will still always have a spot for you, and I never want you to stop doing this. If you leave this show, I leave this show. There it is. Now that pressure's on you. That pressure's
on
you now.
Holy. That is a lot of pressure. Well, my last day at KSHB is December 1st. So I will be continuing with Sports Radio 810 WHB because Stephen St. John is good to stay. So right. There you go. Are you ready for the weather forecast, Nate? You ready?
Nah, sure.
You know what? I need a good one.
I am, Gary. You want to know why?
Why?
You know what I'm doing after the show today?
I know. Is big stuff coming up soon?
Well, that's coming up on August 21st, and I expect you to be there.
I'll be in Hawaii, but I'll get something. right.
Emily Burns Mitchell, our treasurer, is going to be absolutely devastated by this news. She is the number one Gary Lezak fan in the city. But you've gotten to meet her before. No, today, after the show, because I've lost my KCK street cred, I am going golfing with my dad and Frank Bull.
No way.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
When Frank Bull goes golfing, someone gets a hole in one. What have you done? Watch out.
Is that a Jason, metaphor? Is that a...
there's a lot of anger there's going to be on those on that golf course. And listen,
there's
going to
be a lot of anger.
Yeah. A lot of accusations and a lot of this is the way. Let me tell you the way things used to be. Listen, Gary, in tomorrow night, and you're invited. Power and Light, Richie St. John, and the Accidental Moguls are headlining P&L on the big stage, KC Live. So I need some good weather for Richie and the band tomorrow night, and I invite everyone. Free concert, and I think they start at 9 o'clock at Power and Light on the big stage, KC Live. The Accidental Moguls with my son Richie St. John. I'll see you down there. Come on and watch and support my boy. Thank you, Gary. What's the weather going to be like?
Well, wear your flip flops. Have some shorts on. It's going to be warm. Tomorrow at 9 p.m. Saturday night, it'll be 87 degrees. So just get out there and have some water, non-alcoholic beverages, and enjoy the Accidental Moguls. I'm on my way to Hawaii. Aloha, everyone. A high today of 90, a high tomorrow of 97 degrees. Jeff Penner will be filling in next week. It was 69 degrees at 7. It's 72 degrees now. And I hope everyone has a great week. I'm going with my high school buddies, 45-year friendships. You'll see some pictures on Facebook and Twitter. Dan, Joe, Neil, and I, just the guys trip. It should be epic. Aloha. Have a great day, guys.
Don't forget the poi. That is Gary Lezak. We'll be back after this on WHB.